Is it always this large group of people?
We got a few extras.
Few extras, okay. Yeah, amen. Well, it's a wonderful thing to see the percentage of the younger generation, i.e. you, going up from training to training. That's how it should be. Now, today, I'd like to talk to you about Lot, whom both our brother Ni and our brother Lee following him coined this term, a defeated righteous man. You can find such a message by Watchman Nee if you go to the collected works. And, of course, if you go to the life studies of Genesis, actually, more precisely, Genesis Life Study 52, you'll find a message with exactly the same title. Why do I want to talk about him? Well, because I couldn't talk about him over there. I mean, here, in my message. And so this, I think, would be a better forum for that fellowship. So what I'm going to talk to you about is not something I came up with. It's something that is already there in print. I'd like to apply it, however, to your situation. Well, why are we talking about Lot? The reason is that the Lord Jesus, in reference to the days of his revelation, that means his coming back, refer to two times in the Old Testament. Two kinds of days in the Old Testament. One would be the days of Noah, and the other would be the days of Lot. Now, we all are more familiar with the days of Noah, which you can find in Matthew 24, etc. But we don't talk that much about the days of Lot, and it appears not in Matthew 24, when the Lord prophesied about the end of this age, but in Luke 17, you will find both in that passage, both the days of Noah and the days of Lot, referring to them as how it would be when the Son of Man would be revealed again. So, and I don't have time this morning, but if you give me time, I will tell you these two days are also related intrinsically, the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Let me say this, that in both cases, let me take it further. And both these two persons, or their days, were also mentioned elsewhere, particularly in Peter. So if you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, you have to go there, all right? And you'll find these Noah and Lot, or Sodom and Gomorrah mentioned. Then I believe, I'm not sure whether that's the case in Jude, but I know for sure in 2 Peter chapter 2. Talking about this matter related to Sodom, the case related to this whole matter of the Sodomites, or today we would call the homosexuality, you have to study both days, Genesis 11 and also Genesis here, chapter 19, in the case of Lot. I don't have the time to get into that, but let me just say this. I have a strong burden about this matter. Generally, this age of fornication and adultery, this whole matter of homosexuality have actually brought this matter to a sort of focus. And you should not be surprised that this matter is touched in the Bible in a very definite way. I told you I gave three messages as basically a Genesis to Revelation study on this subject. Three messages to the full-time trainees. I don't know whether that will be released or can be released, but if it cannot be, I certainly look for some right opportunities to say a word to the young people today, including the young adults, including, for sure, most of you who are college age, and even to those younger. You know, in Ephesians, Paul said this. He said, let none of these kind of things be among you. Then he even said this. He said, let it not be even named among you, because it is not fitting to the saints. And this is why our brother and even us, we find it very difficult even to enunciate these things, to mention these things, because it is so unfitting, so defiling, so dirty, if you will, so bad. But the age being what it is, we are also very, very concerned of how deep this thing has gotten even into you without you realizing it. That without some more clear speaking, you wouldn't know what we're talking about. Yes, the Lord and Abraham talked to each other as friends by way of implication, but I'm afraid implication doesn't work so well with you. It has to be drawn out for you. And so certain words, certain terms, we have to use it, because otherwise you don't know what we're talking about. You think we're just kind of veiling it and speaking it in No. We have to face this thing head on. You don't know how bad it is, and you don't know how much you have been influenced by this already. Well, let us put that aside, and let us just talk about Lot. Okay? And let's apply this to ourselves in the age we're in today. Lot is called by both, considered by Abraham, even by Jehovah himself, for sure by the Apostle Peter, as a righteous man. He was actually from the stock of the same household as Abraham. He was Abraham's nephew, all right? And he came out with Abraham, firstly with Abraham's father, and then who died in Haran. And then from there, follow his uncle all the way into Canaan, the promised land, the good land. And so he is, in that sense, God's people, one of God's people, no doubt. No doubt about that. And there came a point that he separated himself from the spiritual leader, in this case, Abraham. You can call him the man of that age or the minister of that age, whatever. He was the point man for the Lord's move in that particular time. And Lot, even though biologically so close, so related to this Lot, decided to separate himself from him and took the apparently nicer part of the country, and that being towards the east. And those were the plains, where the good land is, you know, if you've been to Israel, it's mostly very mountainous region. And he selected the plains. And it says it's like the Garden of Eden. It's so beautiful, with water, with things, and eventually a whole civilization, a mini civilization arose from those plains, and there are many, many cities there. It's not just Sodom, not even just Gomorrah. Even that little city that Lot escaped to called Zoar is there, many cities. So when the fire and brimstone came from the heavens to destroy, it was not just Sodom, all right? It's the cities in those plains are all involved in that kind of a sinful culture, a sinful society. So he went and lived there and lived in the event. His tent moved, drifted. The word drift is good. It slowly drifted. It's incremental. It's indiscernible day by day. But a year later, you are far from where you were. You know, by the way, saints, be careful of drifting. Spiritual drifting. You don't go there in one day, but before you know it, you're there. Right there in the world, in the middle of the worst situation. And how this righteous man can end up in that situation, I don't know. There's something very serious in him. And that is his defeat. That is his defeat. He belonged elsewhere. He is one of God's people. But he chose to live amongst the worldly people and the sinful people. And then actually, that Sodom, where he lived in, they were defeated. The king of Sodom, you know, those, how many kings? Five of them? By four other kings. And he was actually captured, am I right? With his servants, with his cattle, and all of this. And so that Abraham had to send 318 of his men to go retrieve or recapture or rescue Lot to save the brother. You know, we have that message with Brother Ed to bring him back, right? Which happened. Thankfully, he was saved. And yet, after this salvation, this rescue, Lot went back again to Lot to Sodom to live the second time. Until God decided to overthrow and destroy that city, and that's when he got, by the skin of the teeth, saved from destruction. And his wife, of course, who was nameless, became a pillar of salt in the place of shame. Now, it's important to therefore to study this righteous man. This righteous man. Actually, he was by implication even a godly man, according to Peter. Even godly. And I can never figure it out how a righteous and godly person would choose to live in Sodom. And you know what? He became a leader of that city. He sat at the gate. When the two angels came, you know, which was directly after that intercession with Abraham, the two angels went ahead to Sodom, leaving Jehovah and Abraham to have that conversation, that intercession. Those two angels went directly to Sodom. When God decided to destroy, it's swift. There's no waiting. It was so bad, the situation, the cry is so sinful that God has to destroy, Jehovah has to destroy it immediately. Of course, it's after many years and times of that cry. But when the decision is made, the judgment is swift. People think today, oh, nothing is happening. When judgment day comes, it will be swift and merciless. So we need to save ourselves from this perverted generation, as Paul said in Philippians. Now, okay, so he went back there and he lived there and become a leader there. You say, Lot didn't participate and get involved in all these things, but come on, he became a councilman, you know, in the city of Sodom. He himself didn't get involved in the things, but let me tell you, in Peter, two very interesting things Peter said, describe him. Number one, that he was oppressed. The other word is vexed, daily. Because how can a righteous soul, he was called a righteous soul, living in the middle of this sin, this abominable, sinful place, not be oppressed? Your spirit will be killed every day. You should not live there. But he chose to live there, and therefore he was day after day vexed by what he see and what he hear. Every day. I mean, today's internet, today's movies, today's all these things resembles that. But it's worse. He's living right in the midst of those people who are doing these things. And you know, when those people come knocking on the doors, you know, these sodomite men, they were not looking for their daughters. They were looking for those two angels who probably were pleasant looking, nice looking. Yeah. I make this not a joke. I make this observation. In Genesis 11, it was angels looking for human beings to marry them legally and produce Nephilim. That is called the strange flesh in Jude. To marry yourself, to have intercourse with someone different from you, different from what God has ordained, that is strange flesh. So angels coming to men is the beginning of this kind of unprincipled marriage that opened the door to this. All these sins, and these sins are all captured, I told you, in Leviticus chapter 18 and 19, twice by Jehovah in his ordinances. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, including lying down with people of the same sex, including bestiality with an animal, and then with incestuous relationships of all manners and kinds. These are spelled out in Old Testament in clear terms. And don't think the New Testament, the law is over. Oh, all this is gone. You are wrong. That is a wrong concept. The ceremonial part of the law is over. The outward part of the Old Testament law are over, the ritualistic side. But the moralistic side of the law is not only retained, but upgraded by the Lord Jesus in his kingdom constitution. You can find that in Matthew chapter 5 through 8. Or somewhere around there. Dear brothers and sisters, I am not here. I told you I'm not on some moral crusade. I'm not a gay basher. I am not an anti. I'm not a homophobic. I'm not a rightist activist. Forget about that. Forget about that. But I am in a war. Because this is a war. And the war is for your bodies and for your mind and for your spirits. Lest you be captured as righteous Lot was, to live in the midst of that atmosphere, and day by day you are vexed and oppressed and you wonder why. How come my church life, my Christian life is always in an oppressed state? You better examine the place you're living, the atmosphere you were, the people you hang out with, the words you listen to, the things that your professor tell you about incessantly. Sometimes subliminally, other times overtly. Nowadays it's getting more and more overt. I talk about you can get degrees, not only in women's studies or whatever studies. You can get degrees on LGBT. You know LGBT? Do you know LGBT? You see, acronyms doesn't work with you. It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. You can get degrees on that. It's glorified, is overt, it's being considered normal, that if you're not thinking this way, you're not normal, and everyone is not agreeing that is intolerant, hateful, bigoted, unenlightened, old-fashioned. If you believe these things I've just said, you have been brainwashed. And I know what I'm saying here. I'm not fighting with you. I love you. I'm fighting with something in the air. Let me tell you, there is an agenda, more than a conspiracy, instigated by Satan himself, the lie. He has done this for the last 6,000 years, from the time of Noah, when the earth with people filled with imagination and violence. Today, it's just more and more accelerated. And it starts with the mind. Now they start with the mind of primary grade kids. It's mandatory. It's institutionalized. It's part of the modern curriculum to build a modern man. Well, you can tell how passionate I am about this. But I'm not here in that realm. I'm not in political right. I'm not right. I'm not left. I'm not redneck or whatneck. I'm not here to do what some recent celebrity of some popular reality show. I'm not doing any of those. All right? We're here for God's economy. We're here with God's word. We care only for this. We are talking about these things from that angle. So let's talk about quickly, because of time, 15 minutes left. You have to leave here because of buses. And I will just tell you, go and read those two messages, one by Brother Nee and one by Brother Lee. Let me tell you the 13 points. I just read it, these 13 points. That characterize a defeated righteous man. The other word is not just he was oppressed, he was even tormented. His righteous soul was tormented. He didn't participate in that. But he was surely in the garlic room. He was tormented. All right? So the lesson here is, flee youthful lust. Just flee. Flee Sodom. Flee fornication, the word is. And flee youthful lust. That's the healthy teaching. Flee these things and pursue with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You have to separate yourself from that environment, from all that talk. You know, today I have college kids, our own, talking in a freeway using the most vulgar language related to that kind of lifestyle, so-called. And they don't know how bad it is. They said, it's cool. That's what everyone talk about. It has become, without them knowing, their mind is already taken over by these things. And that's why the other chapter you must study, and you must study life study of Romans chapter 3 on chapter 1, of Romans. You have to do that. All right, here is the characteristic of a defeated righteous man. Number one, he was passively brought into God's way by others. That means he was not active from day one. That is a danger of being church kids raised up in the church. You from day one follow your parents. And now I'm thankful for your parents. I'm thankful for that. But you cannot always be in a passive state following along. You must become your own active following of God's way. The sooner the better. At a certain time, the training wheels have to come off. You cannot say, I'm here because of my folks. You have to say, I'm here because of God. I've seen his way, and I decided to take this way. I'm paying the price to take this way, and I'm following God's way regardless, even if my parents don't. You have to. Even in college years, you have to follow in this way. I did that to pay a price. So he followed his grandfather and then his uncle and then this and that. In spiritual things, you must have a positive and aggressive beginning. Don't wait. Start now. Begin to follow God and pursue Christ by your own resolve, with your own decision. Number two, he never had God's appearing. His uncle did. And God appeared to Abraham. So Abraham got the vision and revelation and he followed. Lot never got that revelation. So he was a tag-along the whole time. Young brothers and sisters, you must challenge God. Challenge God and say, God, if you want me to follow you absolutely, appear to me personally. I will not be here because of someone else's vision. Now, they may pass it on to me, but I must sooner or later, sooner the better, see it on my own. I have God's appearing, therefore I am here. In the church life, in the Lord's recovery. You must not follow God indirectly. You must have a direct relationship with God. That's why your personal time with the Lord is so important. You cannot live off of others' relationship with the Lord, no matter how close you are to that person. There's no replacement. There's no substitute. God has no respect. God is not a respecter of persons for sure. But let me tell you, God respects your behavior. That if you are aggressive, seeking Him, He will be found by you. God hates passivity. In other things, you can be passive, but in pursuing Christ, never be passive. Number three. He never took initiative in taking God's way. Not only he was passive, he never took initiative. I don't know about you. I came to the church life taking initiative, paying a price to come this way. How old was I? I was 17. It was life and death for me at that point, at that early point. I have to make a conscious decision of coming into the Lord's recovery or not. And the force was against me. And so I knew what I had to do. And it was painful. It was difficult. It was heartbreaking. But I knew if I mean business and have to follow my God, I have to obey Him. I have to directly follow Him, not because someone else convinced me to. It was God calling me. You have to do that, young people. Take the initiative. Then you can lead others into this way. Number four, his relationship with God, this is Lot, is always under the influence of others. He was influenced by others. So when others are up, he's up. But when others are down, he gets down. Case in point, Lot went down to Egypt. And that was a defeat on the part of Abraham. And Lot would just simply follow Abram at the time, down to Egypt. He fluctuates according to others. The time is good, he's good. The time is bad, he's bad. When people go this way, he goes this way. When everyone goes this way, he goes this way. He's like those things that all jump into the sea. Those little rats, huh? Lemming. He follows the crowd. He cannot stand against the tide because he has no direct appearing of God. He is always influenced. Always under influence. Number five, he left, you know, Abraham, meaning he left a proper spiritual influence because of material substance. He had that argument with Abraham. And so he decided to take his stuff and go east. There was probably a dispute there. And he took the way of material substance. That means the world, the worldly possessions, all these things became important to him. And that caused him to leave the spiritual leader, to leave the spiritual influence of Abraham. If he would have stuck with Abraham, he would not have such a sad end. Young brothers and sisters, on the one hand, you should not be fluctuating. On the other hand, you should be clear to identify the proper influence spiritually. Those are your seniors. Those are ones who are absolute for this way. Those who are one with this ministry. Stick with them. Don't leave them. You leave them at your own risk. And I've seen enough of this. To come under the covering, the protection, the preservation. You know better. You don't need the old folks. They're out of date. They don't have the modern thinking. You do so at your own risk. Learn to be covered. It's dangerous to dissent with the older generation in the Lord. Lot was proud. He would not be humbled before Abraham. And that pride, that arrogance, caused him a great loss. Number six, he drifted into a situation which is sinful before God. Well, I talk about this already. Go downhill like Ishmael. Don't go downhill, Francis, don't drift. There are two things in the spiritual life that is they're killers. Number one is drifting. Number two is leakage, something leaking out. You know, a broken conscience, faith leaks out. Take care of your conscience, so no leakage. There's no leakage of the life in you. The second thing is drift. 4 years in college, you can drift a long ways. Just 4 years, even 1 year, drift. It often starts with something rather tame, rather, you know, what do you call it? Or apparently not so bad. But before you know it, you are in the thick of things. Some of you want to, and maybe even your parents want you to go to these top liberal universities. Let me tell you, you don't know what kind of risk that is. I'm not telling you where to go to school, or maybe you're in those schools already. But let me say something. Stay away from certain courses and departments and professors. I mean that. You don't need that stuff to live a life. Especially a lot of the stuff in the humanity side. An innocent thing called English literature. I tell you, it's a pit of hell. The stuff that is being written today. The books that are going around. Many turn into scripts for movies. It's out to brainwash. I told you. It's darkness. You don't know the power behind all of this. You think it's just the times, the issues, the things of the day. You don't know. There is a purposeful agenda to turn you from a Christian to a non-Christian. They glorify in that. to normalize you, to enlighten you, to turn a man into a woman, and turn a woman into a man. I don't want to get there. Number seven, he was sovereignly warned by being captured, but he didn't take that warning. He was captured. That was a warning to Lot, but he won't take it. Things may happen as a warning in your life, but it does not, is not a guarantee. You will learn from it. Be warned. Even this word I give you is a solemn warning. Number eight, he was rescued, this defeated righteous man, from captivity by the Lord's overcomer, that's Abraham. But he was not helped to come back to the way of the Lord. He was saved, even by the overcomers. But he would not come back to the Lord's way. Let me say a word to you. All the passive people are actually the most stubborn people. You may not think so. The passive people oftentimes are the most stubborn people. Or even rebellious. Number nine. He went back to the, this person went back to the wicked city, condemned by God to be destroyed. That's the point. Here's a factor. He went back second time around to that wicked place. I couldn't understand it. How Lot could do that. But he did it. I better read this because it's already the time. Number 10, his children being corrupted. I just cannot say too much about this. I need to talk to parents. Today, whether you face it or not, your kids are going to face it. Big time. And it's being even legalized. I wouldn't be surprised in some time. It's legal. It's illegal to say certain things, even what I'm saying here. I would be considered a hate crime, committing a hate crime. Number 10, this is with the children. The sinful atmosphere of the children. We got to protect our kids. Number 11. He was barely saved through the intercession of Abraham, the overcomers. Look, when these angels were trying to pluck them out, let's go. This place is going to be burned in a moment. His son-in-law joked, oh, what a joke, what a big joke. And even he himself lingered. Lot lingered. He said, no, I want to hang around. I tell you, when the Lord comes, judgment will come to this whole earth like we've never seen. Some will be lingering. They're destined to be saved. Even people pray for them, but if it's not for the Lord's mercy, they would have died. It says, God, if it's not for the Lord's mercy, Lot would have be over. He was just barely plucked out like a piece of wood out of fire. Number 12, his wife saved, his relations, his closest relations saved from destruction, from perdition, but becoming a useless salt, a pillar of salt in a place of shame. That happened to his wife without a name because it's so shameful. No name is ascribed. Why would you take a look back? They were warned not to. That is something to do with the coming kingdom. To be in a place of shame is to miss the millennial kingdom. Number 13, I'm done here. His life eventually issuing in Moabites and Amorites through incest with two of the daughters. You may say, well, that is not his fault. He was drunk. Well, he produced those two daughters. He was turning over those two daughters to the men in Sodom. Can you believe it? This total loss of any sense of shame all morality. And those two daughters turned around and committed incests and begot the Amorites and the Moabites. This is the story, sad story, of a defeated righteous man. My young brothers and sisters, we should not be Lot's. We're living in days of Lot, the day of Lot, but we should not be Lot. We should be Abraham. We should follow our father Abraham and live an overcomer's life to be God's friend, to receive his promise, to carry out God's desire and pleasure today. I leave you with this word. I hope you got it. Amen.